Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. These last few weeks, we've been talking about the ways that God is at work in the world, especially in this post-Easter, post-resurrection time. Now, God has never stopped working in the world, of course. Since creation, God has been at work in and through his creation. But since Christ's resurrection from the dead and his ascension to the right hand of God the Father, he has been working in ways that we don't always recognize. He works through his people as we serve those around us and share the message of the gospel as our Lutheran women in mission do, and as they demonstrated with the blessing bags that they made yesterday at their rally. He uses us as his hands and feet to carry out his mission in the world. And as we see it in our first reading for today from the book of Acts, he is at work primarily in and through his work. As we ponder this account of Philip and the Ethiopian, which our kids will explore in much greater depth in Sunday school, I invite you to consider just how active and powerful God's word is. Because as Christians, I find that we are really good at talking about how God's word is powerful and works, but we're not that great at believing that God's word is powerful and works. So come with me and see and believe just how powerful God's word is as it works in the hearts of believers. Now, to set some of the context, Acts is the story of how the apostles and the early believers, the early church, lived and served and shared from the ascension of Jesus up until about 60-63 or so AD. It begins with the apostles' ministry immediately after the ascension of Jesus, as they receive the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, share the message, and welcome new believers through the waters of baptism, the message which expands outward from starting from Jerusalem into all of Judea and Samaria and Galilee, and then far beyond that into the wider world, especially looking at the Roman world of Greece and Asia Minor and Italy. Now, Acts focuses primarily on Peter and then on Paul, but neither of them actually appears in our reading for today. Instead, we turn our attention to Philip the deacon, who is one of the early, and he's most likely the Greek-speaking, believers. Which, there is a Philip who is a member of the apostles, but this isn't that same Philip. There are two Philips, Philip the Apostle, Philip the Deacon. The first five chapters, the church is increasing in number, but the apostles are the ones that are doing all the work for all the people, which is a whole lot easier with 100 people than it is with 3,000-5,000. What a blessing it is for the church to be growing like this. And yet, what exhaustion it can be for the servants of the church when they are expected to do so much more for so many people, be all things to all people. There's only so much that one or a dozen people can do. And so in Acts 6, the apostles have the believers appoint seven men to be assistants to the apostles, the first deacons. Their primary focus is the distribution to the poor, but that's not all that they end up doing. Stephen, who is one of the deacons, begins preaching and sharing the gospel in Jerusalem, But he is then seized by the Jews and put on trial in chapters 6 and 7. And then after Stephen is executed, is stoned to death by the Jews, in chapter 7, the church scatters, leaving all of the apostles in Jerusalem, including Philip the apostle, and then all of the other believers scatter out through Judea and Samaria and Galilee. And so Philip, one of those seven deacons, is the focus of our text today. He went north to Samaria to preach there and gather a group of believers among the Samaritans. But then while he was there, the angel of the Lord sent him all the way south, back even further south than where he had been in Jerusalem, for some reason. Which brings us to our text today in Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place, not the kind of place where you expect to find an evangelist. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." What all is the Spirit doing here? The Holy Spirit knows what he is doing in this event, but Philip does not. All Philip can do, all that any of us can do really, is he goes where the Spirit tells him to go and pray that hopefully the Spirit will reveal the plan, what he is supposed to do. And then what is this plan? This Ethiopian eunuch is on his way back to Ethiopia after worshiping in Jerusalem. Now, this isn't too unusual. There are Jewish believers scattered throughout Europe, Asia, and Africa at this time. There are Jewish communities in diaspora as far east as Spain and as far west as India and perhaps even China, as far south as all through North Africa, and as far north as all along the Mediterranean. There are a lot of these communities around. Why wouldn't there be one in Ethiopia as well? How did this man come to believe in the God of the Old Testament? It's kind of unclear. But regardless, he doesn't understand as much as he needs to about what God is saying in the text. He is reading from the prophet Isaiah here, but the word's meaning is hidden from him. And yet, God is still at work in his heart. Even though he doesn't fully understand what he is reading or what the words mean, God's word is at work leading him to desire the understanding, which is why the Spirit sent Philip to him. So Philip ran to him and heard that him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" The text that he is reading here is from Isaiah 52, verse 13, through Isaiah 53, verse 12, which is the suffering servant. You hopefully should remember this from this text from Lent. It is one that we tend to focus on a lot because this text, this suffering servant, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one who is led to the slaughter, who is silent before the shearer, who opens not his mouth, from whom justice is denied, whose life is taken away from the earth. It is Jesus, and yet, without faith, the eunuch cannot understand what this text could be talking about. Is Isaiah talking about himself? Is Isaiah talking about the whole people of Israel who are looking forward to when Israel will be taken away into exile by the Babylonians? What about whom is the prophet speaking? The eunuch asks Philip, who is this about? Talk about loading the bases for Philip to give a powerful gospel message. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. See how quickly the word works in this Ethiopian. Philip starts to speak. He shares the good news from all of Scripture, starting from the suffering servant, showing how Jesus is the one who is promised through the Old Testament. Jesus is the one led away as a sheep to the slaughter. Jesus is the one who is taken away from the earth. Jesus is the one who did it all for you. See how Philip starts from this text, moves around to show all of the connections with what the rest of the Bible says. That's why it is so important to know and understand Scripture on an intuitive level. That's why we have the Bible in a Year reading plan in the bulletin for you to follow along with. That's why it is so important. That's why we have Lifelight and so many other opportunities for Bible study, both on a weekly and a monthly basis, to give the opportunity to understand and know Scripture as well as possible. Philip speaks, and before he has even finished speaking, the eunuch looks off to the side, sees some water, and asks to be baptized. What an incredible moment this is. We had three older kids last year ask to be baptized, and in all of those cases, it came after quite a bit of work and love and prayer and sharing the gospel with them as the Holy Spirit worked on and in and through their lives. The eunuch here hears the word and immediately asks for this same blessing, wants to receive the Holy Spirit, wants to have his sins washed away in the waters of baptism. He receives the message so gladly, and his life is entirely changed as a result. It's amazing how God's word works in people's lives. But we see here that the Holy Spirit doesn't just use God's word on its own. The eunuch with God's word alone is blind, does not understand. God, the Holy Spirit, uses God's word through Philip to accomplish this incredible faith. But a few questions do come to mind in considering this. First off, why would Philip be the one that the Holy Spirit chooses to perform this? Philip, after all, is just an assistant to the church. He's not one of the apostles who, on top of that, would have been so much closer to this desert place south of Jerusalem than Philip, who is north of Jerusalem. And yet, Philip is the one whom God chose to share the message with this particular person. You may find yourself wondering the same thing on occasion. Why should it be me who is sharing the message with these people? You aren't a pastor or a deacon or a Lutheran teacher, unless you are. You are simply a believer, but that is who the Holy Spirit uses, is believers. For some people, that is exactly who they need to hear this message from, is a believer, someone who knows and who believes in Jesus. Many people, frankly, would not want to talk with me about the faith, especially when I don't have a relationship with them. But you do. And the people who you know in your life, bring them to church by all means so they can hear and learn and form a relationship with God and with those of us here at church. But don't fear to share your faith with them as well. They need to hear, and you have a message to tell them, and you have a relationship with them so that they can hear your words. They might even listen to you more readily than they'd listen to me that they don't know. And so we also see that the word works, and it works by being spoken and shared. That is what Philip does here. He simply speaks God's word, and God's word works. The power behind this event, it all comes from God through the word. It's not Philip doing anything. It is the word working through Philip in this eunuch. The word was explained and shared by Philip. That's how the difference came about between when he was reading on his own. Sorry about that. When he was reading on his own and when Philip came, but it was God's word that was at work. God's word started the process for the eunuch. God's word finished the process when Philip spoke that word to the eunuch. And so this word works, and it works through you. You don't need any special training to share the message that you have received. You don't need special training to tell people what you have experienced and what you have believed. After all, you've already received everything you need in your baptism as the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you through the water of holy baptism, washing away your sins, giving you faith, and working on and through you through the word. The Holy Spirit works on you through the word, through your baptism, giving you the tools that you need to carry out his mission for you. Now, you do need to be in the word, living in the word, that reading and studying the word. And so, read your Bible on a regular basis, whether it's the Bible in a year or another method. Study your Bible with fellow believers, whether it's here or another church. Simply knowing and reading and studying are all important to growing your faith and growing your understanding of what God is saying. If you have questions, certainly please come and ask me, and we can work through what God says in the Word together. My fervent prayer is that everyone in the congregation is living in and studying the Word on a regular basis. But how incredible God's word is when it is alive and active in and through his church. When God's word is at work, when we get out of God's way and allow him to work, amazing things begin to happen. Those who are seeking understanding receive faith. Those who are weak are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Those who have been oppressed by sin find relief in forgiveness and absolution. Those who hunger are satisfied. Yes, God's word works mightily. And the word works through you. When you hear and read and meditate on the word, God's word does all of this work on and in you, growing and strengthening your faith, forgiving your sins, satisfying your hunger for God's righteousness. And when the word works in you, it flows through you to pervade and permeate every facet of your life, working on and in the people around you who so desperately hunger for this grace that you have received. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.